We're starting a new limud this evening, not to discuss the whole concept of tefillah. For that, we've been having our Sha'arim B'Tefillah WhatsApp group that I've neglected, basically since the beginning of this whole pandemic. Be'ez Hashem, starting this new series post-Shavuos, when the focus is on Limud HaTorah, and during Sfira the focus is on Tikkun Amidos post-Shavuos, we can get to the third Yesod of Tefillah. But what I, and so Be'ez Hashem will start up the WhatsApp group with great zeal, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow morning. We've been working through the rest of Sha'arim B'Tefillah, preparing snippets. But what I wanted to do tonight, what I wanted to start learning, are just to go through the Siddur, just to go through the tefillahs that we're saying, and to find meaning in the words that we say every day anyway. And, you know, this is something we just wanted to start with from Sha'arim B'Tefillah, from Rav Pinkus, who points out that if a Jew doesn't learn Torah for a day or two or even three, okay, a Jew that doesn't learn Torah, we hear, you know, Nebuch, person's going through a lot, a little difficult for the person. Okay, we can understand the Jew that maybe doesn't learn Torah for a few days or maybe a week or even more than that. But a Jew who doesn't daven, something's up. Like a Jew doesn't daven one day, okay. A Jew doesn't daven 2 days. A Jew doesn't daven 3 days. Something's up. Something is up if, Rahmana Litzlan, a Jew doesn't daven for a number of days. And so what I wanted to do is to start with the series, mamish, to start from the beginning of the day to find meaning in the tefillahs that we say. And Rav Pinkus points out in Sha'arim B'Tefillah, what we're doing there is looking at the forest of tefillah. But what I want to do now is to look at each individual tree, each individual leaf, each individual branch of tefillah. And as Rav Pinkus points out, that we spend so much of our early education in learning Torah, it's a real avla. It's a real missed opportunity, perhaps focusing on the wrong things, that we don't invest a lot in our early education on learning about prayer and learning what the prayers actually mean. I remember, I know when I went to school, it was just an expectation that somehow you picked up tefillah along the way. And as a parent, I see where that comes from. We just expect, yeah, kids pick up what it means to daven along the way. But it's really, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And what I hope, whether you're a child, whether you're a parent, that our learning together can really just open us up to the beauty of the tefillos that are in our Siddur, the beauty of the tefillos that we say each and every day. And we have to start, of course, with what is supposed to be the first tefillah that we say every day, but it's actually not the first tefillah every day. The obvious answer to the question of what is the first tefillah that a Jew says every day is, of course, Moda Ani. But we know from the Gemara and Brachos that Moda Ani is not supposed to be the first thing that we say every day. The first thing that we say every day is supposed to be the Bracha of Elokai Neshama Shenasata B'Taorehi. That is supposed to be the first thing that comes out of our mouth when we wake up in the morning. But we know that because when we wake up in the morning, we don't wash until a sedayim yet, the person could have to go to the bathroom, have an urge to go to the bathroom. So therefore, it's inappropriate to say Shem Hashem. It's inappropriate to say Baruch Ata Hashem when you have a guf that is not naki, a body that is needs to go to the bathroom, hands that are not clean yet. So Elokai Neshama was sort of scrunched down into this intense little pill of a tefillah called Moda Ani that we say every morning. But then we say the bracha, which is the expanded form, essentially, of Moda Ani, of Elokai Neshama. So what I'd like to do is, of course, talk about Moda Ani first, but then understand, but this comes with the understanding that Moda Ani is just like a teaser trailer. It's like a coming attractions for Elokai Neshama. And I think that's how we have to understand Moda Ani. So when we talk about Moda Ani, we've discussed it in a number of different shiurim. Moda Ani, it really means two things. The first word of Moda or Moda, right, means that we give thanks, but at the same time, we know from the Gemara in a number of different contexts, from Bab Metzia, from Ksubis, in a number of different Masechtas, that Moda doesn't only mean to say thanks, but it also means to admit. And that really are the two essential meanings of this tefillah of Moda Ani. Of Moda Ani lefanecha melechai v'kayom, that I give thanks to you, Hashem, right? The King, the Melechai v'Kayom, the living King, the eternal King, that you return my soul to me with compassion, great is your faith, right? That we're giving thanks to Hashem for returning our soul to us, because on one level, that means that we understand from the Gemara and Brachos Taf Nun Zayin, that when we go to sleep, a little bit of us is dead. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that sleep is a 60th of Misa, it's a 60th of death, and as such, when we go to sleep, we know part of our soul stays with us in our body, but part of our neshama, we believe, ascends up high to go for a certain cleansing. So Moda, we give thanks to the Ribono Shelom that we woke up in the morning, that the Ribono Shelom gave us our soul again, but also we're admitting that we recognize that when we wake up in the morning, we admit that we only woke up in the morning because you returned our soul to us. And every time you give thanks to a person, real thanks, there's a kernel of admission. Rav Dessler talks about this, and many, many others talk about this idea that when we give thanks to a person, we're admitting that we needed that person to a degree. So when we wake up in the morning and we give thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam, we're admitting to the Ribono Shel Olam that we're essentially helpless without the Ribono Shel Olam, without Hashem. I don't know how many of you have younger siblings, but I don't know how many of you ever played pranks on your younger siblings when they were sleeping. I won't say too many family secrets. You know, on these Zooms, you never know who's really listening. Maybe my brother-in-law is listening. But we know that me and my brother, sometimes when our little sister was sleeping, you know, you play little pranks on someone that's sleeping. I know people that go to camp, sometimes you play pranks on a guy that goes to sleep earlier. We should never do pranks at any time like this that could hurt a person's feelings. But we know when a person is sleeping, they are helpless. They are helpless. And therefore, what we have to recognize is that when we wake up in the morning, we were totally helpless. And we give thanks to Hashem, and we're admitting to Hashem that we know that ultimately without the Ribono Shel, we're mamish nothing. But when we say, Mode ani lefanecha, so you know there is the famous Hasidish story about Rabbi Yisaya Zusha, Meshulam Zusha of Chernobyl. People tell us about the Rebbe Reb Zusha of Amipoli, but it wasn't. It was a story of Rabbi Yisaya Meshulam Zusha of Chernobyl, that once he was by a certain village and he was staying by a certain businessman. There was no minyan in the town, so he was going to be davening in the house of that villager, of that person with the business. And the fellow wakes up very early to start his business, and he sees the Rebbe is already up by the dining room table with his talis and tefillin sitting there waiting, and he's holding a sitter, and the Rebbe is like being misponing, the Rebbe is like meditating. And the chassid, he washes negel vaser, he davens, he has breakfast, he prepares the Rebbe's breakfast, and he goes in to check where the Rebbe is, and Rabbi Yisaya Meshulam Zusha of Chernobyl is still standing there meditating, holding his sitter, gently swaying. He didn't even put on his talis and tefillin yet. And finally, he breaks like out of his trance, and the chassid says, Rebbe, like, what were you doing? I davened, I ate breakfast, I prepared your breakfast, and I see you're still standing here? You didn't even put on your towels and tefillin yet? And he responds with the famous, famous words. Many of us have heard this story before, but we didn't know what the Rebbe was about. And he said, I have to tell you the truth. I woke up this morning and I said, Mo de'ani, and first I stopped. And I said, I give thanks, I admit, I. And he stopped and said, who am I? And it took me a long time to move past who I am. And then I came to the next word, Modani Lifanecha, in front of you. And then again, I just had to be misbon, I had to meditate. Who are you that I'm giving thanks to? Who are you that I'm admitting to? And so this is a very, very deep meditation, Moda Ani. And if a person really thinks about what you're saying, it could take you a long time to get Moda Ani out. But Moda Ani Lefanecha, that I give thanks, some point out that we don't say Ani Moda, which might be correct grammatically, but we say Moda Ani because the first word out of a Jew's mouth in the morning shouldn't be I. shouldn't be I. It shouldn't be about you. So it's mode ani, that the first thing that we say is an act of submissiveness, an act of humility, an act of recognizing Hashem's control, recognizing the debt of Hakaras HaTov that we have to the Ribono Shel. That's how we start our day. But mode ani lefanecha, and first we get to who the lefanecha is, melech chai v'kayam. Right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've spoken about this a lot in the lead up to Shavuos, that Hashem is the lawgiver, He is the Melech that is Chai V'Kayom, that is a living and is Kayom, is the only thing that has real permanence, that is real Emes. Chosam Hashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, that you are the Melech Chai V'Kayom, Shechazarta Bi Nishmasi, that you have returned into me, Nishmasi, my soul, and we'll get to what that more means, because we'll see in Elokai Neshama, that bracha that we're supposed to say when we first wake up in the morning, if you washed your hands right away and you didn't need to go to the bathroom, that would seem to be what you should say right away in the morning. We'll see, it really breaks down the different levels of soul, and Be'ez Hashem will talk about that tonight. Be Nishmasi Bechemla. So here there's an interesting question, that Hashem returns our soul to us Bechemla, right? Where does the word Chemla come from? Perhaps the most famous time, aside from Moda Ani, where we use the word Chemla, is Yom Noram. In the Yom Noram, Nusach, one of the Nigunim, one of the songs that I love singing, and Yonah Aaron and the Chever from Springfield can testify that at a random Shal Shudis, I might just start singing, or at a Tish, Chemla. Right, I love that niggun. That's a niggun that mamish. I sing it all year long. Mamish, any shal shudis, any tish, we just sing chamol ol maasecha. But what does it mean chamol? Have compassion. Why don't we say rachem? Why don't we say berachamim? Right, Hashem shechazarta binishmasi berachamim. Why do we use this lashon of chemla? So to understand what chemla means, we have to really look at yomim noraim. When we say chamol al maasecha, when we say Hashem, have compassion on all of your creatures, all of your actions, everything that you've made, right? Because the Bir HaGruf, the Vilna Gaon, explains, what's the Lashon of Chemla? Chemla is a unique expression of mercy and compassion as opposed to Kas. In a place where you could have found Hashem's anger, that and there's not anger, but there's mercy. That's a unique type of mercy. That's not stam rachamim. That's chemla. So it makes sense in Yom Noram when we say chamol al maasecha. Yom Noram, the time of judgment. When do we say chamol al maasecha? We say it in the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and we say it on Yom Kippur, mamish, and the Yimei Hadin. That's when we say chamol al maasecha. Why? Because there could be kas. There could be Hashem's anger upon us, upon the whole world, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So why are we using that lashon here every morning? Why do we use Shechzarta Binishmasi Bechemla, that you've returned my soul to me, Bechemla, with compassion, with this mercy, as opposed to Kas? So the Chassam Sofer really talks about it, based upon a medrash in actually Eicha Rabasi, that really, when you give someone a pikadon, you give someone something to watch for you, you're not guaranteed that you're going to get it back, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a pikadon every morning. Hashem gives us something to watch every morning. And how do we treat that which Hashem gives us? And we give it back to Hashem at the end of the day. And how do you give it back to Hashem? From the time He gave it to you in the morning till you give it back at night? What have you done to it? What has the neshama looked like over the course of a day? And this is a really an interesting question. And therefore, the Chassam Sofer points out, it's amazing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after what we've done to our neshama over the course of a day, again, Hashem gives us neshamas, we'll talk about that very soon when we get to the bracha of Elokai Neshama, but when we come to Hashem right in the morning, Hashem, you give me my soul, why is it Bechemla? Because after what I did to my soul yesterday, did I really deserve it to get it back? After what I did this to my soul today, do I deserve to get my soul back tomorrow? So what we recognize every morning is that it's Bechemla, that there's a unique compassion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. When Hashem gives us our soul every morning, it's even a higher level of mercy. It's really Chamol al Masecha. It's an expression almost of love more than Rachamim. Rachamim, you have mercy, you feel bad on a person, you pity a person. That's Rachamim. But when you have chemla, chemla is much greater. Chemla is when you should respond to something with anger, but instead there's incredible compassion and love. So that's why every morning, bechemla, you return my soul to me, bechemla, rabba emunasecha, great emunasecha. So we know emunasecha, for those that have listened to any of my shirim, those that have ever learned with me, you know that I am a stickler for how we're supposed to really translate rabba emunasecha. And you look in a number of sidurim, how they translate it, great is faithfulness in you. Rabba emunasecha. Great is faith in you. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Great is faith in you. So there's a beautiful story of Reb Chatzkel Abramsky. Reb Chatzkel Abramsky was one of the Iluyim geniuses of the 20th century. After the war, he made his way to England. From England, he made his way to Eretz Yisrael. So the famous story about Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, he had quite a sense of humor. There are a couple of famous stories about him, about his compassion, about his love, about his sensitivity to everyone. And also, he had a certain sharpness them at times. They say one time he was called as a witness in a case in England, and the lawyer said to him, "Rabbi, is it not true that you are one of the greatest rabbis in the entire United Kingdom?" He says, "It's true." And he says, "Rabbi, is it not true that you are one of the greatest rabbis, one of the greatest Talmudical minds and scholars in the whole world?" And Reb Chatzkel Abramsky said, "Yes, it's true." So one of his Talmidim came up to him after, was in the courtroom, said, "Rabbi, I don't understand. How did you say those things, that you're one of the greatest Talmudic minds, one of the greatest Gedolim in the world?" And Reb Chatzkel Abramsky looked at his Talmud and said, "What do you expect? I was under oath. What do you expect me to say?" Right? That was Reb Chatzkel Abramsky. When he was sent to Siberia by the Russians, by the Soviets, because he was a Rav, and he was arrested, and he was sent to Siberia, mamish to a gulag of hard labor, he wrote Chazon Yechezkel, he wrote a multi-volume work on the Tosefta while he was in Siberia. Again, if you don't even know what a multi-work on the Tosefta is, let's just say amazing, amazing work of Torah scholarship while he was in Siberia. But in the early days when he was in Siberia, you can imagine there's a certain yish, there's a certain despair that could grip a person. And one day, Reb Chatzkel Abramsky is waking up early, early in the morning. And mom, she's there with criminals. And one of the criminals looks at him and he says, "Rabbi, why are you just lying there in on your board, just like staring? What's going through your head?" And Rabbi Abramsky, Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, says to him, "Look, I'll share with you that as a Jew, the first prayer we're supposed to say every day is to thank God for waking us up in the morning." And he said, "I was lying here struggling before I said this prayer. Why am I thankful that I'm waking up today? Why am I thankful that I'm waking up? I'm thankful so that I'm going to be tortured, being sent to do hard labor in 30 degrees below zero temperature, that if a part of your skin is exposed after 5-10 minutes, that part of your body will lose all sense of sensation and you'll lose that part of your body. Like, to be tortured in a gulag, that's what I'm thankful for." And he said, "But you know what I came to the understanding?" He said, "You know why I'm going to say it right now? Because of the last two words. Because you know what we say as a Jew? That you know why it's worth it to wake up every day? Because Rabba Emunasecha. Great is our faith in you. Great is it to have faith in you, Hashem. That even though I'm going to get up and I'm going to go work in 30 below zero, Rabba Emunasecha, it's so great to deepen my faith, to be able to hold on to my faith to you in God under these horrifically trying circumstances, that it's enough for me to wake up today and to live in such a horrible place just to be able to have faith in you." And it's a very deep teaching and a very, very important teaching. No matter the difficulties that we're going through, obviously, every person has different sorrows, and the world is in a place of great sorrow. The United States is in a time of great sorrow right now. Really, there's an incredible pain going on. And as Jews, what we have and a responsibility to do is a rabba emunasecha, to know how great it is just to be mechazik our emuna, just to deepen our faith. It's one of those sheish mitzvahs t'midios, one of those six constant mitzvahs, to deepen our emuna. And emuna isn't just that Hashem created the world. It isn't only that Hashem created the world and Hashem runs the world. It's Hashem created the world, Hashem runs the world, and rabba emunasecha, part of having emuna in Hashem means emuna in Hashem's love for us. And now I'd like to flip on what I think rabba emunasecha really means. And I've shared this in so many shiurim, and this is probably one of the things I repeat the most often in my shiurim. And you can never hear this enough. Rav Matisyahu Solomon and many others point out that rabba emunasecha doesn't mean great is it to have faith in Hashem, but rabba emunasecha every morning, shechazarta binishmasi b'chemla, Hashem, you returned my soul to me with great compassion. When there should have been kas, there should have been anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I wasn't deserving of being woken, of waking up today, but you returned my soul to me b'chemla with great compassion and love. You know why? Because rabba emunasecha, part of emuna is knowing that Hashem loves you. Rabba emunasecha, great Hashem, is your faith in me. You know why the Ribbono Shalom wakes you up? Because Hashem knows that you have something great to do today, that you have something great to accomplish today. And it's an amazing teaching. It's a teaching that should fill us every morning with a certain purpose, with a certain bren, a certain excitement to get out of bed, to recognize that as long as I wake up, it means I have purpose, I have a role, and there's something in this world that only Chaim Marcus can do today. And everyone that we're learning together, only you can do this. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has a tafkid for you. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has faith in you. That's why Hashem gave you life this morning. Because Ribbono Shel Olam knows, even though Chaim Marcus didn't use my day yesterday the way I should have, Hashem had chemla, chamol al masecha, to recognize that he has faith in what I can accomplish today. And that's rabba emunasecha. And this is mod da'ani, which again, is like in tiny, tiny trailer form of what Elokai Neshama is really about. So when we talk about Elokai Neshama, I wanted to look at the bracha at least a little bit tonight together. And it would be great if you have a sitter. If you don't have a sitter, that's also okay. But Elokai Neshama, first of all, it starts with the word Elokai. Elokai is a reference to Hashem as what? Hashem as, of course, judge. Hashem is judge. And we know that when we talk about Hashem as judge, why do we talk about Hashem as judge? Bereishis bara Elokim es haShamayim v'esaretz. The very beginning of creation was Shem Elokim, Hashem as judge. That in this world, there is din v'cheshbon. There is judging and accounting, right? And therefore, Elokai, my God, my judge, neshama shenasata bi tahorehi. That I know, and sources point out, that when your neshama goes up every night, part of your soul ascends up every night, that means part every night you're being judged. Part of your soul is being judged. So Elokai, that Hashem, you're my God, you are the creator, the first term to describe God as creator, but you're also the judge, and neshama shenasata bitarehi, the soul that you put inside of me, it is pure. Meaning what? That I sent up a soul that wasn't the most pure. I sent up a soul after what I did yesterday with all the food I fressed that wasn't all l'shem mitzvah, wasn't all for Oneg Shabbos and for Oneg Yontif, but I'm sure there was some taiva mili taiva involved and whatnot. But Elokai neshama shenasata bitori, the neshama that you put back inside of me this morning, Tahorihi, it's totally pure. And now look, there are three more expressions. Ata virasa, you created it. Ata yetzarta, you formed it. Ata nefachta bi, and you blew it inside of me. So four expressions right here. What are we talking about? Many mefarshim on the Siddur say we're talking about the four levels of soul that correspond to the four worlds. Neshama shenasata bi tahorihi, that's the level of neshama known as chaya that lives in the world of Atzilus. The world of Atzilus is the highest level of existence that a human being can connect to on any level while you're still in a mortal body, right? And that is Atzilus, and that's why Neshama Shenasata Bitori, on the level of Atzilus, the level of Chaya, your soul is totally, totally pure. Eitzel, Atzilus from Aleph Tzadi Lamed, means to be like next to. That's like you next to God. Right? After Chai is Yechida, you oneness, unification with Hashem. We're not going to get into what that's beyond even this world, but Atzilus is right next to. So the level of soul of Atzilus is Neshama Shenasata Bitarehi. That part of soul that's totally pure, you put it in me, Ata Verasa, that's the next level down. That's known as the world of Bria, the world of creation, the world of something from nothing. That is Neshama. That's Barasa. Ata Yitzarta, Yitzira is the next lower world. That's the world of formation. That's something from something else. That's a level of Ruach. And Ata Nefachta Bi, you blew it into me, even though Ruach means the wind. Nefachta Bi, you blew it into me. The level of soul that goes in through the nostrils, meaning that settles in the body, the lowest level of soul that's the most connected to body is the Nefesh, is the animal soul. So there are Mefarshim who explain that this bracha talking about, this is the first thing you're supposed to say every morning. The Gemara in Brachos, Samach and Beis says, this is the first thing you should say every morning. We don't, because we didn't wash Netil Sidayim, and we have to go to the bathroom. But if theoretically, again, if you have Netil Sidayim right next to your bed, and you wash right away, and you don't have to go to the bathroom, there are those that argue, this is the first thing that should come out of your mouth. That you're recognizing that Hashem as judge, yet you've given back the soul on all levels, from top to bottom. V'atan Neshamra B'kirbi. That God, you guard the soul inside of me. And what does it mean to guard the soul inside of me? V'atam mishamra b'kirbi. Because on a certain level, and this is something we've discussed also, the soul doesn't want to be in a body, right? The soul wants to be back where it came from, right? The whole idea of waves and the water, the mayim elyonim and mayim tachtonim, the upper waters and the lower water, waves are actually reflecting the yearning of what was separated. There was a separation between the waters. The bottom waters are trying to reach the upper waters. That reflects the soul wants to be high up. But no, v'atam shambar b'kirbi, God, you are guarding the soul inside of me. You're keeping the soul inside of me. And also just recognizing, some say v'atam shambar b'kirbi, just Hashem as protector. We recognize that our bodies, right? We've pointed this out, that according to the Rambam, that it's a mitzvah medaraisa to daven every day. It's a Torah obligation to daven every day. What does that mean? Because according to the Rambam, the only time you have to daven medaraisa is be'es tzara, in a time of distress, right? So why does the Rambam say you have to daven every day? Rav Soloveitchik famously said, the Rambam agrees to the Rambam. The Rambam agrees that it's only a chiyuv d'araisa to daven be'es tzara in a time of distress. That's it. But the Rambam recognizes every day is a time of distress, right? So, atam shamra b'kirbi, that you're guarding my soul inside of me, v'ata osid l'tla mimeni, and eventually you will take it from me. You'll separate this soul from this body, ulachzira bi la'asid lavu, and you will give it back to me in the future. This is a recognition of Tchias HaMesim. And that's why, by the way, that's why if you didn't say Elokai Neshama, for example, for those that stayed up all night, Shavuos night, learning, you didn't sleep at all during the night, you weren't allowed to say Elokai Neshama in the morning. Just like you don't say Moda Ani, you didn't sleep. But you know what Mishnah Berurah says? There's a bracha in Shmona Esrei that you should have had in mind to fulfill the obligation for Elokai Neshama. You know which bracha in Shmona Esrei? The bracha of Mechaye HaMesim. The bracha of Mechaye HaMesim actually is fulfills the obligation of Elokai Neshama, because every day we go through a Tchias HaMesim. When you wake up every morning, that is a shtick Tchias HaMesim. And we say, but we know that there will be the ultimate Tchias HaMesim, called Zman Shanashama B'Kirbi, as long as the soul is inside of me. Mo da'ani l'fanecha Hashem Elokai v'Elokei Avosai. I give thanks to you, or I admit to you. Again, both pshatim here. When you give thanks, it means you're admitting in front of you Hashem Elokai, my God, and also the God of my fathers. This is very similar to the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. By what right are we standing in front of Hashem and talking to Hashem about our soul and thank you for giving it to me? Because we know what we inherited of the Torah HaKadosha, Torah Tziva Lana Moshe, Mo Rosh HaKilas Yaakov, that what we are the continuity of a chain coming from Sinai. And therefore, we know that we're standing not only as individuals, but we're standing with generations that are connected to us. Ribon kol ha'masim, Adon kol ha'neshamos. And here we're talking about God as the master of everything that happens in this world. So here this is much more b'harchava, this is much more expanded than Modani. This is not just melech chai v'kayam, this is ribon kol ha'masim. This is a declaration of faith that Hashem, you are in control of everything that happens in this world. Ribon kol hamasim, the master of all actions, the master of everything that's happening. Do you realize how powerful this is if you would say this every morning? Slowly, bekavanah, ribon kol hamasim, anything that happens to me today, Hashem, I know it's from you. Wow, unbelievable. I mean, this bracha is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Every day you could be fulfilling this bracha, just fulfilling this mitzvah, just by saying this bracha with kavan and the chizuk that it gives us. Adon kol ha'neshamos, and yet you are also the master of all souls. Meaning God, just like you're very involved with what's going on in here, so too in the olam ha'neshamos. Hashem, meaning you're bigger than everything. You're the mekomo shel olam. Everything finds its place ultimately in God. Baruch atah Hashem hamachzir neshamos lifgar meisim. The one who returns the souls, lifgar meisim, to the dead corpses. But you know what a dead corpse is? Each and every one of us is when we're sleeping. And that's why every day what we have to recognize, the bracha of Mechaya Mesim, is not only about a Tchias HaMesim that will happen, but it's about the Tchias HaMesim that happens every day to us, both physically and spiritually. There's a physical Tchias HaMesim that takes place, that we wake up in the morning, but we have to know that comes with Chemla, that comes Elokai Neshama Shenasata Bi Tahorahi, that when our Neshama goes up, Hashem purifies the Neshama, Hashem cleans us from the Shmutz and whatever was on us. And we wake up with the new opportunity, with great Chiyus, with great excitement, with great spiritual energy, because what was, was. Havar Ayin. Right? The past is gone. The past is gone. We know Baruch Hashem, this amazing bracha called Tshuva, what was, we can move past and we can be Misakin. Those that are learning the Nachyomi through the OU, talk about Melech Menashe, talk about the power of Tshuva. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us Hashem dug a special tunnel for Menashe to be able to come do Tshuva. None of the Malachim wanted to let him to approach the Kisei HaKavod. And so what we have to know is that every night the Neshama goes up and comes down. And this is why when we say Moda'ani, Moda'ani is much bigger than just the three phrases that make up Moda'ani. But rather, and again, even tonight, just to understand what Chemla means, what Rabbi Munasecha, what it means, Moda'ani Lefanecha, but to connect it to Elokai Neshama, which is such a great statement of faith in the Ribono Shel Olam. You don't have time to say the Ani Mamins when you run out of davening, but just say Elokai Neshama with a little Kavana every morning, and it gives you the chizik, it gives you the comfort, and the feeling Hashem's love, and Hashem's back. Hashem has your back. Who do you want to have your back? The Ribono Shalom has your back. And that's what Elokai Neshama and Moda Ani help us recognize every day. So this is just, again, Be'ezus Hashem, that this is a week, you have homework. The Shir has homework. I'm sorry. I know for my Talmidos from Berea, you'll be shocked. I give homework, right? I ask, I'm giving you homework. This week, please, Moda Ani and Elokai Neshama, please take at least 10 seconds to say Moda Ani in the morning. You think that's a long time? No, let's time Moda Ani. Let's 10 seconds, right? Let's just pause for 10 seconds to see how long it is. Okay, that was 10 seconds. Take that long to say Moda Ani, to really think about what you're saying. And then when you say Elokai Neshama, and I'm going to do this homework also, to say it from a sitter, and to look at the words, and to look at the different phrases, and to recognize that it's talking about the different levels of our soul, and how Hashem is in control, and how the soul wants to be, and how Hashem has our back. Hashem's protecting us here and up there, and Hashem is constantly, constantly giving us these new opportunities, because what it comes down to is that Hashem has so much faith in us, And Hashem loves us so much. Okay, Chevra, have a great night, and please, please do the homework. Work for this. It's next week on Moda Ani and Elokai Neshama, and you'll start seeing great, great things in your day.